Well, good morning, Lakeside. My name's Trevor. I'm one of the pastors here, and welcome to Missions Sunday. This is something we haven't done in a long time at Lakeside. We did a missions night about 1 year ago on a Wednesday night, and we felt like that was so motivating and inspiring and encouraging. We wanted to bring that to Sunday morning so that our entire church family could hear more about the missions ministries at Lakeside. And our goals this morning are for you to hear from many of the ministries that we help support, both locally and globally. We want you to know where your giving is going, that when you give to this ministry, you are helping ministries globally. We also want you to think about how you might get involved in missions. And there are actually more entry points than you might imagine. We'll talk about that as the morning goes on. So let's start off by looking at what is the missions focus at Lakeside. Your missions ministry here is led by our missions committee. That is myself, Pastor Tony, Deb Safely, Kevin May, and Jeff DeVries that work through this. And this is the focus that we have. That is to plan, to plant, strengthen, and connect people to local churches. We believe the local church is essential. That is how God works. And we want all everything we support to be pointing people toward that in some way. Here's what our missions ministry looks like. There is a map outside in the lobby. You can go look at that if you want to see where in the world each ministry is. But in summary, we have 11 overseas missionaries currently serving in 10 nations. Three of those are serving in restricted access nations. And if you're signed up for the lunch after the service, I hope you are, you'll get to hear from three of those missions efforts that are going on in restricted access nations. We also have three ministries in the Des Moines area that we support. And we have three mission trips happening in 2026. We just got back from one in Oklahoma, serving at Camp Joy. Our teens are going to be going to Glacier Meadows in Montana again this summer. And then we'll be talking about a third trip here at the end of the service. And in total, 8.3% of Lakeside's annual budget is going toward missions. And we have a goal. We want to get to 10%. Our budget grows every year. So obviously we get to increase our missions giving every year. That number is going to go up in the coming year or so as we prepare to support Pastor Dave as he goes out to be part of the Waukee church plant. And this morning we have five missionary couples who are with us, which is a tremendous privilege. Three of those will be speaking at the lunch, so they'll be sharing their ministries there. But here in our main worship service, we get to hear from a couple of our supported missionaries as well as a mission trip. So this morning with us, we have Cole Albright. He and his wife Debbie are sent out by Living Waters Fellowship on the south side of Des Moines. They work with church planters in Latin America. We have Rob Pearson, who you have heard from before. He is going out from Living Waters as a church planter at Atlas Church in Waukee. And then we're also going to have Pastor Tony and Eli Boatman come up and talk about the mission trip that Lakesiders went on to South Africa last December. So Cole, will you come up and share your ministry with us?
We on? There we go. Thank you. Hi, my name's Cole Albright. Really glad to be checking in with you guys. And I just want to say a big thanks to Lakeside Fellowship. You guys have supported our ministry for several years and through a few transitions. And God has been really, really, really faithful to us and to the work of the ministry that he's called us towards. This is my wife, Debbie. She's definitely the better half of me. And she's just done a tremendous job with our family and our kids and serving alongside us. We do have four children that you might see. I apparently did not hit the right button there. Thanks, Jake. And so this is Liam, Layla, Tate, and Ren, and they're wearing their messy jerseys, but they certainly are just a joy to have. We spent 2 years in Peru serving boots on the ground in the field with the heart to help multiply a vision for what it would mean to church plant in a local context. And our desire was not to go and plant a church, but to go and help encourage, equip, and support the work of church planting on a national level. One of the great things, and I would say the great struggles in Latin America, is that there's been a model for hundreds and hundreds of years that if something new happens, you have to wait on a missionary to do it. And then it's the Latin American's job to just take the handoff. And so that is very much ingrained in the culture. The bulk of the national churches there have all been started that way, with very few exceptions. And so the only ones at present, well, almost only ones at present that are actually actively planting are hyper-charismatic works and definitely stuff in mysticism, at least in the Peruvian context. So our heart was always to help encourage, equip, train nationals for the work of church planting. God did a great thing while we were in Peru. We were able to help identify and help with that church plant, set the church on a course in which they would be sending a pastor to plant a church, and we're in process of that right now. By God's grace, we're hopeful to see that church launch really well in about a year from right now, and so we're still in process with them. There's also, in the process of that, while we were in Peru, we were asked by multiple other regions, hey, we see what God's doing there in Lima, would you help us elsewhere? And so as those calls came in, and there was a lot of them, we made a transition within ABWE over to their Live Global team so that we could serve in multiple regions of Latin America, even though we are home-based in Des Moines area. One of those regions is Arequipa. There's a small work going there in an area called Horacio Ceballos, a small group of believers there that are desirous to plant a really healthy church. And by God's grace, we'll help see that happen in the next 2 years' time period is our goal. And so you can just pray with us for that. There's about 60,000 people in this area of the Andes there. So Arequipa is a city of about 1.5 million. It's just exploding. And this area has no real gospel works going on. So we're working and training alongside there. Another region that I wanted to highlight is the central jungle area. This is a place called Villarica. And they are, it's like rich village is what the name is. And they are rich in coffee. They're also rich in cocaine, though they don't advertise that. And but they are a town that has a huge deficit for the gospel. There's only one small work going there in 20,000 people. And so just huge needs all over the place. And then there's several others. I'd love to highlight just this couple right here. That man, he walked into one of our Bible studies while we were in Lima. Within a short time period, he came to Christ and God radically changed not only him, but his whole family and his four kids came to Christ. And so we're working with them. Their hometown is Villarica, and we're desirous to see a church plant there, and then about the next 3 years is the target. And so we're praying to that end. You can be praying for Wilbur and Elizabeth. Some of these folks you might know on this slide from the Lima team. There's Steve Frericks, myself, Jorge Quintana, which is on my right. And then we were actually helping Jorge with one of his very first core group interviews in this. And so we are looking to see a church work planted in a district of Lima called San Borja, has 140,000 people, two small gospel works going there, and just not enough workers. And so God's uniquely calling Jorge that direction. We're helping equip him in that. And we plug in with Jorge and all these guys weekly. I have several other regions I want to highlight, but I do want to bring it home because while we're based stateside, there's some hours in the day that I do get to spend investing in local missions here. This is a group of men that we're discipling in South Des Moines. There's five nations represented at this study, all Spanish speaking. And there are men that are coming to Christ, walking with Christ, and some of them are desirous to go back to their home countries and plant churches. And so we're really excited for what God's doing right here in the Des Moines area. And it was a joy. It was about 7 weeks ago, we started what we call our third service, which is an all Spanish service that we're doing at Living Waters now. So we do first, second, and now third once a month. And this was our first service in Spanish, all in Spanish. And so we give glory to God for what he's doing in the Latin American ministries here in the U.S., as well as in the different regions where God is leading us. And so we would just invite you guys to pray with us that God would continue giving us great fruit, that people would continue coming to Christ and being changed by the gospel, and that our Latin American brothers and sisters in Christ would continue taking leadership positions and planting churches in these areas with heavy needs. Thank you. I'd like to invite Pastor Rob up.
Thanks, Cole. Good morning, Lakeside. It is good to be back with you this morning. And I just want to give you a heartfelt thank you for sending your lead pastor with me to come help plant Atlas Church in Waukee. I am super excited. He's talked about growing his next fruit on the next generation. I'm part of that. And so I am super thankful for you in doing that. Okay, so Atlas Church. What is an atlas? Maybe some of you that are below 25 are like, I have no idea what an atlas is. I've got a picture of an atlas up here. And an atlas is a book of maps. okay? It's a book of maps, and this is what you would use to maybe go across country, see what was going on before IMAPs and Google. My dad was a long-haul truck driver, and this is what he would use as he went across the country and as he got to his destinations. And sometimes it would take you to the treasure. I got to go with him on a ride one time. We end up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And what is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but a Krispy Kreme donut factory. So the map took us to the treasure. And that probably did influence me in becoming a cop before I came into ministry. But anyway, the atlas, a church acts like an atlas, helping point people to Jesus Christ. And with Atlas Church, we want to help people discover and delight in Jesus Christ. And so Matthew 13, 44 through 46 are the verses that God has put on my heart in thinking of Atlas Church, which says this: the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. In his joy, he sold all that he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, sold all that he had and bought the pearl. All right, so the kingdom of heaven is where King Jesus is, right? And with Atlas Church helping people discover the kingdom, discover Jesus Christ is what we want to do. And when you discover the treasure that is Jesus Christ, in your joy, you go and follow. In your joy, you obey. In your joy, you do anything that God calls you to do. This morning, I think Pastor Trevor's going to talk about these opportunities that you have to jump into. In your joy, as Christians, you jump into these things. So, how can you help with Atlas Church? Maybe this is something that you've been praying about coming on the core group with Atlas Church. It's a big commitment. There's a QR code here on the screen. You can apply. You can be part of the core team. I'd love to talk to you more about that out in the hallway afterward. Or maybe you live closer to the area. You're like, that core team commitment seems like a lot. I can't commit to that, but I would love to come first Sunday. We'll be launching in September. And what most of you could do, though, is I would just ask you to pray. Pray for us. Pray that we'd be bold in sharing the gospel, helping people discover and delight in Jesus Christ. Pray that hearts would be warm to the gospel as we are planting a church out in Waukee. That's it. Pastor Tony, you're up.
Good morning. My name is Tony O'Toole. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I'm sporting my rugby jersey today because I have the privilege of talking about one of our South Africa missionaries and a trip that we took recently. And their two main sports in South Africa are soccer and rugby, and I do not profile as a soccer player. So while there, had to get one of these. Same with this guy. All right. I've had the privilege of leading a number of different missions trips over the years between adult trips and high school trips. And our prayer, my hope is that we are always a blessing to the group that we're going to serve. But one of the other awesome things that has come out of it that I've experienced myself and been able to witness in others is how much it impacts them and impacts the lives of those who are going to serve as they're exposed to other cultures, other life experiences, and certainly the blessings that we have here in our country in the way that we can worship God freely. So back in December, we took a group over to South Africa to minister with my younger brother, Louis, and his family. And Louis and Amber have been serving in South Africa for about 18 years, and we've had the privilege to support them as a church, and we're also their sending church. And they've served in a number of different ministries. ministries over the years. But right now, primarily their ministry is Louis pastoring at a local church there, and then doing seminary training for local pastors that are ministering around the community and townships in the area. And one of their ministries as part of Welcome Baptist Church is serving with the youth group. And each year they host a camp for students called Unashamed Camp. And for years now, we've been able to support that. Most of their campers are unable to afford to go to camp on their own. And so we've been able to help fund it through like our VBS offering this past summer and offerings we do in youth group and things. And typically, they have about 40 to 50 campers each year when they do camp. And it's in December, other side of the world. That's the beginning of their summer. And they're supported by teams that come over from here that do the speaking and the music and games and whatever activities are needed. And then our own Chad and Ann Suter have gone for years over to assist with camp, mainly as the camp cooks, keeping everybody fed. This past December was the first time we've had the privilege of actually sending our own team to assist. And the team was made up of 8 individuals from here at Lakeside, and then one from Living Waters Church. And we were able to do the teaching. Jay and myself were able to do the main speaking sessions. Jay led music. Our other young adults were camp counselors and then also helped in a number of things, mainly teaching workshops. And then Lainey and Will Warwick came along as well and also served in a number of different ways. Now, the first part of our trip was a little bit rough as the stomach bug kind of made its way through the group. Thankfully, that was passed by the time we started camp. We spent whoever was healthy spent the first week getting to spend time helping in youth group, getting to know some of the kids we were ministering to. And then at the end of that week on Saturday, we actually had the privilege of celebrating their 75-year anniversary with the church there in Welcome. And getting to experience an authentic South African braai and fellowship together. Learn how bad we are at soccer, all of those fun things, and really got to connect with those who we would be ministering to the following week. And then we also had the opportunity throughout that week of going and visiting different areas in the community, specifically Pastor Madhuwane and Kootenong Baptist Church. Pastor Madhuwane is actually supported by Lakeside. He's a national pastor trained up in Macanio Seminary under Louis and now pastoring his own church, which you can see the top picture there. That's the outside view of their church, and the bottom one there is an inside picture. Then week two, we got to load up the vans and the trailers, make the 3-hour trek up to camp where we would be ministering for that week. Camp is a little bit different than how we do it here, but in a lot of ways, actually quite similar. And what we learned is that phones have actually bridged a lot of the cultural gap as the kids are all watching the same garbage on their phones that our kids here do. So our young adults were able to connect pretty quickly, which was a blessing, and served very faithfully throughout that week. We spent the day with morning and evening teaching times, individual and team devotions, games, activities, lots of singing, and it truly was a blessing. We had team unity. We had a great group of campers that engaged and participated, and a number of spiritual decisions were made throughout the week. I have limited time. I'd love to share more with you about all of our different experiences. On Wednesday in our newsletter, we'll actually send out a link to a photo album of all the different experiences. If you'd like to know more of those stories, grab me or one of our team members, and we would be happy to share with you about all the amazing things God did in our time there. I'm going to turn it over to Eli. Eli actually just started this week as a pastoral intern here at Lakeside, and he was one of our team members. I'm going to have him share a little bit more of his experience there.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Good morning. As Tony had already just mentioned, you know, South Africa has a lot of popular sports there, and Tony and I, as you can see from the jerseys, fit more so into that rugby category. One of the biggest culture shock moments for us, you know, especially for me, was that Tony and I are, you know, 3 and 4 XLs in South Africa. So I know we're big people, but it made us feel quite a lot bigger. Anyways, you know, prior to South Africa, prior to this trip, I had not been overseas on a trip, but I had been to Montana on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation that Lakeside sends teams out to. So I'd done that a couple times. And there's a lot of similarities, actually, between these two trips. You know, some of these pictures are that you'll see are from the townships there. And a lot of like what we saw on the reservations in Montana, you know, poverty, separated families, addictions and sinful lifestyles were very prevalent in many parts of South Africa. As we drove through these townships, you know, if you think like me, like your immediate thought is, you know, these people, they need more money, they need new homes, you know, they need these material items. And of course, that's going to help for a time. But after talking to you know, Louie and Amber and some of the other missionaries, some of the other locals, you know, you'll find that you can give them money and that's super helpful for them. But what they ultimately need is the gospel of Jesus Christ to make a radical change in their lives. And that's how they can have that changing, transforming power that comes only from the gospel. And here's a picture in front of Welcome Baptist Church. There's some of our team members. Some of you guys might know Lovemore on the right there, and then that's Tolu in the African shirt there, that white shirt that we met. John Piper says this. You know, a lot of you guys might know John Piper. This is from his book, Let the Nations Be Glad. He says this: missions exist because worship doesn't. Missions exist because worship doesn't. And what Piper means by that is essentially this. You know, still in 2026, missions work is necessary because there are still people all around the world who do not worship our God. And missions will continue to be necessary until God is worshiped all throughout the earth. And of course, you know, most of us are not full-time missionaries in here, and a lot of you guys might not have the opportunities to ever go overseas and serve in this way. I think we can all support and encourage these missionaries. We can obviously give if we're able. And then like some of the other speakers already talked about, we can always be praying. So thank you. Let me let Pastor Trevor come up.
Well, thank you, guys. I hope what you hear there is the ministry of Lakeside is going out globally every single week. So we gather here. This is the part of the body we get to see, but these churches are holding their services around the globe every single week. And what you give to this ministry helps support all that. I think the other thing worth hearing in there is no coincidence that our new pastoral intern, Eli, came up through going on mission trips. So these trips not only benefit the people we're serving, they have a huge impact on those who go. So I want you to file that away as we talk about where we're going this morning. For our next missionary story, I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, the insert's also in your bulletin this morning. And as you listen to missionary stories, sometimes it's easy to think the people who go out and do these things around the world, they must be some kind of super Christian. Because they're a Christian like we are, but they're doing it at a level we may not be able to relate to. And I was thinking about that this week. It makes me think about when I go out and I play golf with some of the people in our church. I go out with somebody like Dean Summer or Kevin Smith. It would be a stretch to say we played the same game, okay? To say we both played golf because they're doing this and I'm doing this, and I think I'm not doing the same thing as them. And you can think that way as a Christian. Think, well, that we're all Christians, but they're doing it at such a level I can't even compete with that. But what we're going to look at today from the book of Acts is I'm going to give you some role models here. Some regular folks who are Christians serving God exactly where they are. They're doing what I call living every moment on mission. So let's look at Acts chapter 18, because as you read the New Testament, you're going to see this couple pop up over and over again. Couple named Priscilla and Aquila. We see them first here in Acts chapter 18. They show up again in Romans chapter 1. Then they show up again in 1 Corinthians and in 1 Timothy. And when you piece together everything that we know about these people from the New Testament, it adds up to a story that ought to inspire every Christian in this room. Because you look at Priscilla and Aquila, you should be asking, what can I do where I'm at right now? Because that's all that they were doing. So let's read where we first meet them in Acts chapter 18, verses 1-4. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. So right away, we learn several things about this couple. First of all, we see they're living in the city of Corinth. Paul arrives there and he finds them. They're living in Corinth because they got pushed out of Rome. That was a racist political persecution. The Emperor Claudius pushed all the Jews out of Rome, so they get displaced, they wind up in Corinth. We also get to see what they do for a living. They make tents. So you put this together, we're just talking about regular folks. These are regular folks who are trying to deal with the global geopolitical situation. They're trying to deal with the economic situation of their day. And in the middle of all that, they're just serving God. That should sound a lot like the rest of us. And that's why they make such great role models for regular Christians. So I want to look at three ways that Priscilla and Aquila lived every moment on mission. The first one is they served God where he placed them. Now, the biblical record shows us that these people lived in four different cities, and they moved five different times that we know of. Sometimes they got pushed to a new location, like we talked about, that Rome shoved them out. They had no choice. They had to go find a new home. Other times, they willingly pulled up stakes and they moved to a new place in order to be part of a church planting effort, like when they went to Ephesus with Paul. And in all those moves, no matter where they landed, I don't think you ever heard Priscilla and Aquila say this: why did God put me here? I don't think they ever said, if God had just let us stay back there, imagine what we would have been doing for him. I don't think they ever said, if God would move us to a new place, then we'll get busy. Then we'll do something for him. No, I think every time they moved, picture them making all these moves around the map. Picture when you move and you've got all these boxes, you can't even find your pots and pans. I think before they found the pots and pans, they were already thinking, what could I do here? Why did God send us here? What would he have us do in this place? Sometimes God does call us to move. He calls us to go to some strange new land to us. That's the traditional missions model. And maybe God would call someone in this room to do that. But many times, God just wants us to wake up. He wants us to wake up to the opportunities in the place we are right now. Whenever someone says that they think God is calling them to go into ministry, an experienced pastor always says, tell me what you're doing right now. What are you doing now? If you think you're called in ministry, have you been doing that already, at least to some extent? Because you have to understand this. You are kidding yourself if you think a change of address will make you serve God more. You have to do it where you are. Start serving him today, where you are. Priscilla and Aquila did that. Every city they landed in. They also show us that they served God with what they had. We already saw that Paul met this couple when he arrived in Corinth. And here's how Paul describes his condition when he got there. 1 Corinthians 2:3, he says, I came in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. So Paul comes into town. He is beaten down. He has been suffering. And when he arrives there, fear, weak, trembling, he finds Christians in his own line of work, tent makers. They help put him to work. They give him a place to stay. They start him making connections in Corinth so he can start sharing the gospel. So you look at this, you hear the careers that Priscilla and Aquila made all that possible. Would you say that these people were working in ministry? Well, they were making tents, but doesn't it sound like they were in ministry? They were doing all these things to advance the gospel. And in fact, their occupation has become the term for pastors who are leading churches while also working another job. They're called tent makers. It is anybody who works a job while also serving God. By that standard, our lay elders are tent makers. Our deacons are tent makers. Our kids ministry workers are tent makers. Our growth group leaders, they're tent makers. All of you are tent makers if you work a job while also serving God. It's every Christian. And that creates amazing opportunities. Because wherever you work, if that's outside the home, inside the home, you have contacts from that. And you work alongside people. I can guarantee it. If you're working outside your home every day, you're alongside someone who needs to hear about Jesus Christ. That coworker you spend so much time with every single week, they may face eternal condemnation if someone doesn't tell them about Jesus Christ. Missionaries in other countries, they will spend years building relationships, getting a chance to have a conversation with somebody. And if you are working somewhere, your employer is paying you 5 days a week to build relationships with your coworkers. And I know you have to move carefully when it comes to talking about Jesus, but the question is, can you find a way to talk about your faith somewhere along the line in those relationships that you're building? Well, along with their jobs, Priscilla and Aquila had another amazing ministry asset that you can relate to. It's called a home. Because when we read about what they were doing in his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 16:19, "The churches of Asia send you greetings, Aquila and Prisca," that's the formal name for Priscilla, "together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord." This is a good example why you should never overlook the introductions and the closings in Paul's letters. There's so much buried in there. He's talking about, look, they have a church in their home. In those early years, there were no church buildings. So people had to open their homes up to host the church, much like Lakeside started in someone's home. So here's the takeaway. Priscilla and Aquila were serving God with two things that everyone in this room has: a home and some kind of occupation, whatever that is. You're doing something every day. Never underestimate the gospel doors that can be opened through your work, through your home, when you use them intentionally for God's mission. Now, some of you are probably thinking about what you do for a living. You're thinking, well, there is no ministry application of what I do. I don't know what that would be. But I would say this, you might be surprised. In fact, you will be surprised what God will do if you make yourself available. About 15 years ago, God really started convicting me that my Christianity was pretty much confined to the four walls of my church. I rarely talked about Jesus anytime except Sunday morning. And God was convicting me, you need to get out there. You need to connect to your community. You need to start talking about Jesus. And I was thinking, where can I do that? I have no idea. Until one day I was at my in-law's house and I noticed a little bag of coffee and it said Freedom Blend Coffee on it. And I said, what is this? And he said, well, I was at the Beaverdale Farmers Market. I bought this coffee. Apparently it's some kind of ministry, gospel ministry that reaches inner city kids. I thought, maybe that's a thing. So I went online, I looked into it. I was like, this sounds interesting. So one day I made a very bold move for a guy who never talked about Jesus outside of his church. I just drove down there. I knocked on the door, went in the office and I said, I want to help. How do I help? And I wound up talking to the lady who's a volunteer coordinator. And she said, well, what do you do? And I thought, that's trouble. Because at the time I'm a magazine editor. And at that time, the whole world is saying, we don't really need magazine editors anymore. And I'm like, what can I possibly do? Because I really doubted the directors at Freedom woke up every day and prayed, Lord, please send us someone who can put pictures and text together for a great Michigan vacation plan. Nobody's asking for that. And I thought, that's what I do. And I said, okay, I don't know. I said, I'm a magazine editor. And she stops and she goes, are you serious? Like, it's a good thing. And I said, why are you so excited about this? She said, our director just wrote this little booklet on serving and the joy of serving in ministry. He needs somebody to edit it. Would you do that? I'm like, that I can do. So I edited this book. Then I called a friend of mine who's a designer and she designed the entire book. Then I called a friend of mine who worked at a printing company. They printed hundreds of copies of it. Then I got a friend who was a web designer to redo their website. And long story short, my daughter wound up interning there and working there. I wound up serving on their board. And over the last 15 years, God has just opened my eyes to so many things through that specific ministry. And it all started because I said, God, this is what I can do. What can you do with that? And I just offered it up. One of the most convicting, stickiest things I've ever heard is this statement right here. Years ago, I heard it. God is not looking for people of ability. He's looking for people of availability. Doesn't matter what you can do or can't do. He wants you to be available. So are you available to serve God? like Priscilla and Aquila were. And you might be thinking, well, that sounds risky. Because what if God asked me to do something that is really outside my comfort zone? Well, Priscilla and Aquila did that because they served God when it was risky. In Romans chapter 16, Paul gives us another tidbit about their ministry. He says this in his greetings, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house." So here they are, they're back in Rome. They're having church in their house again. But look at what verse 4 says. They risked their life to save Paul's neck. We don't know exactly what that was. It was probably in Ephesus. There was a riot. People came around trying to kill Paul, trying to kill the Christians. Somewhere along the line, Priscilla and Aquila risked their very lives to help with the gospel. Christians around the world are doing this every day. Christians around the world risk their lives to talk about Jesus Christ every day. And some of the missionaries that are gonna talk in our lunch after the service, some of them are right, they're close to that line. They could get kicked out of the country they're in for talking about Jesus. They could face risk. In light of all that, are you willing to take some low-grade risks to serve God? Are you willing to be uncomfortable? Are you willing to interact with people who may not be the same as you? Are you willing to learn a new skill? Are you willing to take some of what God's given you and give some of that back in a new way to ministry? What if you do? What if you say, yes, I do. I wanna be a part more of what God is doing. I wanna tell people that they need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, I love it when people ask that. I love it when people come and they just say, I wanna get involved. I have no idea what to do next. That's what I did. That's what you should do too. Because everybody has something to offer. Every single person has something to offer. And to show that, I wanna show you an idea that I got from an organization called Engage Global, which works in missions. So here's the end goal of all missions, isn't it? That is the unreached person. That is the person who needs to hear that they are condemned to death because of their sin. They need to hear there is hope, and that hope is alone in Jesus Christ. They need someone to go and say, you can't earn salvation. You have to trust in Jesus, and he will give you eternal life. And maybe there's some people here that need to hear that right now. This is the same message we preach every day at Lakeside Fellowship. So how do we get that to those unreached people? Picture someone on the other side of the world, the classic mission situation. What if that person lives in a place where there are no Christians? What if they live in a place where there's no Bible? Did you know that 2 to 3 billion people right now live in a place where they never hear the name of Jesus Christ? 2 to 3 billion. So how do we get that to them? Well, we have a missionary. Here is our willing missionary. They are excited to go. They are saying, I want to go tell that person about Jesus. How do they get there? There is a big gap between that missionary and that unreached person. So they're going to need some help to get there. Well, we start looking for help. Maybe that's something called a mobilizer. These are people who help educate people about missions opportunities. They help point them in the direction to start getting training to head out there. Well, then they're also going to need something like a sending church. They need someplace like Lakeside that will vet the missionary and help them get started, help them raise support. Give them the support they're going to need. They're going to need, if they're a young person, supportive parents. Parents who say, if that's what God is calling you to do, we're behind you. They're also going to need a whole bunch of other things to keep closing that gap. They're going to need logistical support. People who help them make the steps to get there. They're going to need a lot of prayer to open doors, to encourage them. They're going to need ongoing encouragement for all that time when it feels like they're out there alone and they feel like they're not making a difference. People to encourage them. They're going to need financial supporters, obviously, as they're raising the funds to go. And we're getting them closer and closer and closer. And ultimately, they need a mission agency to help them with all the thousands of details it takes to go out and stay on the field. And eventually, we close the gap till we have that missionary standing next to that unreached person sharing the gospel. And along that path, where are Priscilla's and Aquila's? Well, they're everywhere, aren't they? They're every single step. It takes them at every stage to get that missionary to close that gap. That's people like you. people like you at every point in that chain. We want to send missionaries from Lakeside. We would love to be the sending church for more of those missionaries. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're called to be the tip of the spear. Or maybe you're called to do something somewhere in that chain to help get the gospel out there. And keep in mind, you might actually already be the missionary standing next to the unreached person. Who are you standing next to tomorrow? That you're already there. That gap is already closed. You could already share your faith with somebody. What part is God calling you to play in missions? As you think about that, I want to share another message from a missionary. This is a guy named Brian Linartz. He and his wife, Amy, serve in Osaka, Japan. They are supported missionaries from Lakeside. They originally are from Wisconsin. Then they went and served on the island of Guam for years. They were in a big, thriving church where everyone spoke English. It was very comfortable. But God laid on their heart to fly 4 hours west and serve in Osaka, Japan. And if you know anything about Japan, it is 0.5% evangelical Christian. 0.5. It is frequently called the graveyard of missions because people have been going for hundreds of years to Japan and they don't get anywhere. But the Linartz has felt God was calling them to go to Japan. And I want you to hear from them as Brian talks about the process they went through to make that decision.
What's the biggest thing you could ever imagine God doing with your life? Around 3 years ago, our family began praying a prayer that went something along the lines of, Lord, put our family in a spot where we can be most effective for your glory. I realized early on that the danger in praying a prayer like that is that God might answer in a way you are not expecting. My thinking was that God would look down at our family and he would place us in a spot that seemed like it naturally fit, somewhere that was safe. That's not what God did. We don't fit in here. We don't look the part. We act different even though we try not to. We don't speak well. We came with a message that has been rejected for thousands of years. God was not placing us in the locations that we thought made the most sense, the places we thought were the safest. He was putting us in a spot where we would be most reliant on him so that when God would choose to do something big, we knew that it was not us, but it was for his glory that was flowing through our lives. I'm reminded of Ephesians 3:20, where it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This verse is saying that he is able to do anything far beyond anything that you or I can imagine, only if we are completely reliant on his leading and not our own efforts. It is saying that as we are walking in the Spirit and we allow him to guide us step by step, we will see his grace guiding us in everything that we do. I think most of us over the years have had some pretty big ministry dreams. These dreams all look a little bit different. Maybe your dream is one day leading a Bible study or leading someone to know the Lord. All these dreams are very diverse, but one thing that we know is that we need God in order to accomplish these. I believe for each of us, there comes a moment. A moment where we look at these dreams that God placed on our life and we make a decision to either take a step of faith or to reach out and look for the safest route possible. Many chose to find that safe route, and they chose that job based on pay. Or they built that home because it was the biggest one they could possibly find. Instead of seeking God and going after what he wanted, we look for our own way, our own safe way. The beautiful thing about our God is that wherever we're at, whether we made those decisions or we've been following him each step away, at any moment we can turn back to him and say, Lord, I want to follow you in faith. Whatever you have for me, I'm willing to go. When you look at what God might have for you, what that next step of faith might be, I encourage you to take that leap of faith into his arms and not trust in the things that we see with our eyes. I'm not sure what step of faith the Lord is asking you to take. But I do know that the scripture says is that faithful is he who calleth you, who will also do it. I encourage you to leap out into his arms, to lay aside all the safeties of this world and to trust a sovereign God to carry you each step away. It's not until that moment that you will truly see the goodness of God and how He can use your life to do things that are exceedingly abundantly above all that you could imagine. Maybe you might be the one who you know God's been working in your heart to give up that home, to give up your life and say, Lord, I'm willing to jump into your arms and to take that step of faith.
So he's talking about a leap of faith. But it's not blind faith. It's faith into the arms of God. So the question again is, don't worry about your ability. The question is, are you available to whatever that is? And some of you, many of you, serve this way. As I was working on this week, I thought of Priscilla's and Aquila's by name in our church. Many of you are living this way. But if you feel like God is saying you need to take a next step, let me give you some specific ideas right here at Lakeside that you could do. First one is to attend on April 18th. We have a one-day missions experience. This is a partnership we're doing with an organization called ABWE. That's a missions agency that is the sending agency for many of our missionaries. I attended one of these a year ago, and I thought it was excellent. That's why we're doing it here at Lakeside. This is for everybody. You come, it's a workshop environment where you get to hear from missionaries at multiple life stages, different kinds of ministries. They will come and share their ministry, and then you work through workshops to figure out what maybe I could do. So if you are sitting here saying, I have no idea what I would do in missions, come, perfect. That's who this is for. And I would encourage you, if you are a young person, you're trying to decide what to do with your career, maybe that's missions, come to this. Maybe God will point you in a direction. If you are mid-career and you feel like there has got to be more than what I'm doing, well, how could I get involved? Come. If you're retired and you feel like you still have gas in the tank, you still have something to offer, come to this. This is for all life stages. And the goal is you walk away inspired with some ways you might be able to take some specific steps in missions. Second, I want you to think about being a part of a mission trip here at Lakeside. So this fall, we will be taking a trip to Costa Rica at a facility called Arbol de Vida. I'm sure all the Spanish speakers in the audience are laughing at how I pronounce that. I don't have to learn Spanish, you won't either. This is a trip to Costa Rica to serve at a camp and a ministry location that the missionaries have been down there for about 8 or 9 years now. They have training for local pastors. They have a vision to build a facility for women who are coming out of trafficking situations. They want to have an addiction ministry center, but they are certainly helping educate pastors and connect with churches. Our team will go down there. We're gonna take up to 12 people this fall. We will go and do some projects in local churches. Again, our mission's focus is strengthening churches. We will go and do some projects to help those local churches. But here's the part I'm really excited about. When I was talking to Aaron, who is the missionary down there, he was describing one of the challenges in the Costa Rican church is that people don't understand the entire story of Scripture. They might know pieces, but they don't understand the entire narrative. And he said, do you have any ideas? And I said, I do. Because many of you have been through a program called Starting Point, where we study a book called The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus, where we summarize the biblical story. Some of you in this room came to accept Christ because of that study, and that is available in Spanish. And I told him about it. He said, let's do that. So our team will also get to spend a couple of days doing workshops where students from his Bible college will sit with us and be our translators. And we get to help teach the storyline of Scripture to people in Costa Rica. So be praying about, would God have you apply to be part of that team? And let me know if you have questions about that. And then lastly, there are things you can do right now. You can go out and meet your Polk City neighbors. And there are several ways that you can do that. And this will also be on your connection card. One is you could become a part of our connection team, our community connection team that Pastor Joel leads. We need help going out and knocking on the doors of people who have moved to Polk City. In case you hadn't noticed, there are a few new homes going up in Polk City. We have a lot of chances to go out and talk to people who have moved to our community. You knock on their door, you have a short conversation, you introduce Lakeside, you ask if they have a church family. It is a great, easy opportunity to start knowing people in our community. Next, if you sign up for that team, you can be part of our events that we have throughout the year. That is the Four Seasons Festival, the Fall Festival, and Light Up Polk City. We need help in all those areas. And then this summer, as you heard at our vision night last fall, we plan to knock on every door in this community this summer. That's 2,000 doors we need to be knocking on. We need all of you to be a part of that. We're going to work with the growth groups to have each growth group take a part of our community, but we need everybody to be a part of this. It is not as scary as you think. You just go and have a short conversation and find out if they have a church home and introduce Lakeside to them. And you never know, that might be the thing that helps them come to faith in Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we have our friends from the Gideons are here today. They have tables out in the hallway. If you are familiar with the Gideons, they've been around a long time handing out Bibles. They have a need to distribute Bibles in this community. So if you are interested in becoming part of that, talk to them at their table, find out more about how you can get God's word out into our community. So I would ask you to just take a couple of minutes now to look at your connection card, those two connections there to sign up for the missions experience or to become part of the community connections team. Let me pray for you as you consider if God would have you do that or take another step. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we get to be partners with so many missionaries around the globe. We thank you for the sacrifices they make, for the efforts they put in on fields that are often difficult, that they have answered the call to go. Thank you, we get to be part of that chain that puts them out there on the field. Thank you for everyone who gives to this ministry so that we can turn around and help support them. But I do pray that you will lay on everyone's heart, not just to admire and pray for missionaries, but to ask, what is my part in missions? And Lord, I pray that there might be some in this room that are being called to become full-time missionaries. We would love to send them out on the field, but I pray for everyone else to think about, what could I do through my career, through my family, through my neighborhood? What could I do with my home? Whatever skills we bring to the table, I pray that everyone here will just lay those on the altar and say, what can you do with that? Because Lord, I know you will answer that prayer if we simply ask, how can I serve? And I pray that in all of this, we keep our focus lasered in on the need for Jesus Christ, that we are telling people that this world is bleak, but there is hope. And that hope is outside of ourselves. That hope is faith in Jesus alone. I thank you for our missionaries that share that. I thank you for the members of Lakeside who are out sharing that with people around them. Help us all to do that more effectively. Help us to do that through our missions experience, through our mission trip, through our community connections team, and simply through the word of God being distributed in our community. Lord, I just pray you'll lay on our hearts to serve you more today. In your name we pray, amen.